brothers and sisters. I'd like to welcome all of you here today for the services for Carl Markle. My name is Ben Redman. I'm funeral director with Moapa Valley Mortuary, and I've been asked to help officiate for today's services. As we begin the service, I'd like to turn the time over to the United States Marine Corps Honor Guard, and they will present honors at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you to the Honor Guard for their services and their commitment to our country. At the viewing service, we had a family prayer offered by Kyle Cardinal, and we felt it fitting that we would go ahead and start the service here with that in mind. We will have a eulogy offered by Brett Hannig, and then a tribute offered by Cambry Hammonds, and I'll make a few announcements at that point. So, Brett.
Good morning. I'd like to thank the Markle family for asking me to do this. I really appreciate the honor. I even looked up online how to do a eulogy. I've never done this before, and one of the things it said was, make sure you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. I thought, well, that sounds like any talk you would give anywhere. So I'm going to do my best. I may ramble a little bit, but I think we'll all understand who Carl Markle is. Born, of course, this November 16th, 1940, and passed away this past week on the 23rd, 82 years old. His 60th wedding anniversary would have been November 3rd, so just shy of that. We all grew up as families in the east part of Las Vegas in a neighborhood known as Winterwood. The Markles grew up at 5178 Champions Avenue. Of course, four kids, Pete, Shawnee, Josh, and Jason. As kids, we were lucky that they were one of the few families that had a swimming pool. So that was something that we all loved. And of course, every kid in the neighborhood, we've spent many a summer at their house all the time. Of course, they had a patio cover built, and that became a place to get up on top of and jump into the pool, which didn't go well with Aunt Velma or Uncle Carl, but kids will be kids, and we had a wonderful time, and I don't believe anybody got hurt. And it had a diving board, which pools today, I don't believe, do that anymore. My fondest memories of Uncle Carl is we used to golf together. That was probably when I first learned how to golf. And we went to Desert Rose down in Winterwood many, many, many times. I'm left-handed. I do everything left-handed, except I learned how to play golf right-handed because he had an extra set of clubs that were right-handed, so I didn't know any different. So that's how I learned to play. And if anybody's ever played golf, that's something. If you're thinking about taking it on, I don't, because it's a very frustrating game. It's what I call a love-hate relationship. But as my wife can attest, I still play it every Monday. Guns, my goodness. We went in a shooting league at American Shooter Supply, and we shot in two or three leagues and had a blast. That's where I learned my love for guns. We had a shed in our backyard. We lived catty corner, two houses away from the Markles, and we had a shed, and we had it all set up with reloading stuff, and Carl and I would spend many, many hours in the evenings reloading, because when you go shoot and practice in leagues, you know, ammo's not cheap, so we always rebuilt our own ammo, which was something I learned how to do from him. Then we used to take lots of trips to California, him and I, southern and northern, PCH Highway. My first trip to Alcatraz in San Francisco was with him. My first time on the Golden Gate Bridge was with Uncle Carl. And of course, one of his favorites up there in San Francisco was Fisherman's Wharf, and we spent time up there and had a blast. But I think his most favorite place is San Diego and Imperial Beach. They used to get a beach house for many, many years, and they would go half the week, and then they would ask me or Shawnee and our families if we wanted to come the second half. Whoever couldn't come, the other family would, and we used to have a blast going and staying in beach houses in Southern California, and we still do that today with my family. They moved to Logandale in 1994 to start a new chapter in their life. Over the years, they were blessed with 12 grandkids and 3 great-grandchildren. A couple things that Carl, you know, just little sayings that he would say that I was very inquisitive as a young man, as a kid, and I used to ask a lot of questions, and one of his key things to me was, are you writing a book? And I would say, well, yeah, and he would say, leave that chapter out, which meant I asked way too many questions and I needed to stop. But Another saying that I say today that I learned from him is, there's probably a bunch of you here aren't going to know what this means, but he would say, "I got to go see a man about a horse." So if you don't know, ask the person next to you what that means, and that's Uncle Carl. Absolutely. You know, I talked to my brothers because we know him as Uncle Carl. Of course, you know him as Dad, and a lot of you know him as your grandfather, and of course, friends. Holidays. He was the person that always said the prayer to bless everyone and to bless the food. And he always brought his electric carving knife because we enlisted him in being the one that carved the turkey or the ham or both. And he loved doing that. But what you may not know about Uncle Carl is he could make the best deviled eggs you've ever had in your life. And I don't know what we're going to do moving forward, but we'll have to figure that out because they were incredible. You know, Uncle Brian, I talked to him, my brother, and I have to read this verbatim because the way Brian wrote it. I remember when we were kids, Uncle Carl would cook dinner a lot. And so one night we were eating dinner at their house for some reason. And we were all sitting at the table waiting for Uncle Carl to bring the food to the dining room from the kitchen. We were very excited and happy with this creation that night. He was. It was something that he had never made, that he never prepared for, and he was eager for us to try it. When he brought it to the table, me and Pete looked at each other, and we didn't know if we should laugh or cry. Carl, when he came, the words we'll never forget. "For dinner tonight is, we are having fried squid." Probably not one of my favorite, but that was something that, one of the memories of Uncle Brian. And of course, Gary's was mostly the holidays, and Gary's very traditional, and this is going to be a different Thanksgiving, a different Christmas this year, for sure. Other memories of Christmas mornings at their house that they would, you know, Shawnee would tell me that you know, she remembers helping decorate the tree and all that stuff, and that when they got up Christmas morning, he would have a fire in the fireplace, making it cozy and warm for everyone. Of course, we could be here all day if we told everybody's stories. Pete, he learned, and what I'm learning from Uncle Carl that I knew and talking to everybody is he loved to teach. He was a teacher. He was wanting people to understand and his kids how to do things. And I have a saying that my son hates: if you're going to do something, it's worth doing right, and you need to finish the job. And he hates every time I tell him that. But Pete, you know, he says, showing the meaning of necessary of yard work. The Markles had a big backyard. They had a pool, as I mentioned, and they had a boat. Not a boat that you would take out and put on it, that you trailer to the lake. No, this boat was up from the lake, and it was a decorative piece in their backyard. But on the other side was a huge lawn. So Pete learned the value of yard work, edging, trimming, and, of course, finishing. You don't do yard work and not put the stuff away and throw it away and put all the lawnmowers away when you're done. Back in the day, you young kids won't know anything about this, but there used to be big antennas that people used to have on their roofs, but now we all have cable and DirecTV or whatever, and we don't even know what antennas are. I don't see any around here, but they used to fix them. There would be antennas that would break, and he would get up on the roof with his dad and go help fix antennas. And doesn't sound very fun at whatever age that was, Pete, but I'm sure you did a good job. You know, Carl, like I said, Carl and Velma were married almost 60 years, so that's quite iconic in today's society to have a marriage last that long. That's incredible. I will take away from my experience with Uncle Carl living across the street with him, and as we got older, you know, we all get busy in our own lives, and we don't see each other as often as we used to, so that's why the holidays are great and stuff like that, but Carl and Velma really turned the corner when they got married. A lot of you may not know that they didn't have this marriage thing figured out right away in the beginning. It took them, I think, depending on who you would have asked, now they're both gone, so we can't ask either one of them, but it was either 6 or 7 times they were married and divorced. And they, of course, they made it 60 years, but it was after they took the lessons and they got married in the temples when things, I believe, really turned for them. And 60 years, wow. Let's just call it 60. It was close enough. So I would like to say thank you for this opportunity again and for what they've meant in my life. And I say these in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, I am Cambry. I've been taking care of Poppy for the last 7 months, and what an honor. My grandfather Carl was one of my favorite people I've got to spend time with. I got the pleasure of being his caregiver every single day for the last 7 months. There we go. I remember vividly when I first moved into his house, he was very against the idea of me moving in. It was until Grammy died in April that he was finally getting warmed up to the idea of me moving in with him, because he said it would be a little too lonely without anybody else in the house. Poppy was quite the jokester. He loved pranking all of us, children and grandchildren. I'm sure we've all been victim of him rolling up toilet paper and sticking in our ear or our nose. Why would he wake up anyone normally? That's not fun for him. Poppy was always devoted to the church. He went every Sunday, rain or shine. He also slept in sacrament every Sunday, rain or shine. And he would always deny the fact that he ever fell asleep. He never fell asleep, in his own words. He absolutely loved the ocean. He loved being in the Marine Corps. He loved playing cards, and he loved crosswords. And he loved sugar. It was his favorite food. A few of my favorite memories with Poppy over the last 7 months. I would try to make him dinner every night, and I would tell him that I'm going to the grocery store, and I'd come back about 25 minutes later, and he had warmed himself up a bowl of soup, and so I had my own dinner. There was one time, though, he offered to make dinner for the both of us, which he never offered to make dinner, but as you all know, he used to be the one who cooks all the time. He would be the chef in the family. But he had store-bought chicken from Lynn's, and he also steamed some asparagus, and it was terrible. We both agreed about four bites in, and then he made soup. I would also take him to the movies once a week. I remember taking him to see Barbie, and I made him take a picture in the box, and he told me it was stupid, but after the movie, he said it was very cute, and he loved the movie. So, this is my journal, and I just write in it just 'cause. And I wrote this a few hours after Poppy died, and I think it's the best way to end this. My Poppy. I'm so protective over him. He was mine to care for, mine to love. It's very precious to me. He let me into his heart, and I could live with him. He's my guardian angel forever now. I love you so deeply, though my heart hasn't been able to process you're gone. You were the comfort in this home. You cared about me even though we butt heads all the time. The little moments you shared you care for me was all I could ask for. Thank you, Poppy. You're my hero.
I'd like to offer all of you the time now to come forward and share a memory or a story of Grandpa Carl that you liked us to hear today. To try to get as many stories and memories as possible, I ask that you be brief, be mindful of other people. But we would like to have as many of you to come forward as we possibly can. So the time is now yours.
What's happening, everybody? I'm just going to share a story about my Uncle Carl. Brett mentioned, you know, we grew up across the street from each other, really unique childhood that a lot of people didn't have. We all had an Uncle Carl. My dad was named Carl, and their dad was named Carl. And I think we can all agree that we grew up really loving our aunts. My mom and Aunt Valma, or, you know, they were just the nicest ladies you could ever imagine, and they loved all of us like we were their own children. So we were all really close with our aunts. Our Uncle Carls, on the other hand, were a little gruff. They were a little gruff, both of them. And they expected things from you, and they expected, you know, they expected things from you. And so a little story about Uncle Carl real quick. When I was 18, I was living with them. And I was trying to tell this story earlier to Shawnee because I didn't know if it was appropriate for the graveside. But it was a long time ago. So a long time ago, when I was 18, you know, I like to smoke a little bud. So me, I was living there, and they were supposed to not be home. They were gone for the day. And so me and Dave Crunk, who was really one of my closest friends, Uncle Carl and I, almost accepted him in their house, like, you know, like he was one of them. And so we had this bright idea. We would buy an ounce of weed, and we would divvy it up into a bunch of dime sacks, and we'd sell that, and we would smoke for free. So we're in the room in the basement, Pete's room, and we got the weed all laid out on the bed with whatever, however many dime sacks that was, like 20 of them, and we're divvying it up, and Uncle Carl walks in the room with the, it's all on the bed, all of it. So in all my wisdom of 18 years, I looked up at Uncle Carl and I said, "It's not ours." And he says, "I don't care whose it is, we're not going to talk about this again. I just want it out of this house." And that's what he said. So this story ends about a year later. Find out Uncle Carl was not such a bad guy. I wasn't living with him at the time. That's how I know it was about a year later. I had an apartment, and they needed a piano moved. So me and Crunk went and helped Uncle Carl move this piano. So when we were done, he pulled, like, I can't remember what it was, like 40 bucks or something out of his pocket to give to me and Dave. And we're like, it's cool. You know, he goes, "Nah, because you guys take it and go get some of that stuff you like to smoke." I swear Uncle Carl said that. So that was, you know, I just kind of realized that was kind of a humanizing moment for him, for me. That he was gruff like my dad, but he watched us and he observed us and he loved us. So you guys were all lucky to have him as a grandfather.
For those of you who don't know me, my name's Corey. I was Carl and Ann's next door neighbor, our family and his family. Been together for quite a while. I was always impressed with both of them. And Carl would, he did some things that I've never seen anybody else do. One was, he would walk long distances for exercise while reading books. I've never known anyone else who's done that and not been hit by a car, but he did a really good job of it. The other thing, he had a really, you know, we talk about, he was gruff, and he liked to pretend he was gruff, but there was a very, very soft heart there. And he was very kind to our kids, and even one time our chicken flew over the wall into his backyard. And he called and left a message saying our chicken was in his yard, and it was a couple hours before I could get there to retrieve the chicken. He had made it a nice bed, a box with a pillow, had some water and some seed there. Very caring man. We loved him. He was a great neighbor.
Hi everyone, I'm Perry. I'm Poppy's grandson. Probably my favorite, or one of my favorite memories of him was we were in Imperial Beach and he had walked Angelina and I down to the beach one morning, and there's a bunch of like seaweed and a bunch of stuff out. So Angelina wasn't looking, and so he grabbed this giant like bulbous, leafy, slimy piece of seaweed and he walked up behind her, and so she turned around and it was like an octopus or something to her, and so she screamed and she was so frightened by it, but it just, the look on his face when he did it, he just seemed like sneaky about it and so happy about it. So he just, that's a very pleasant memory that I have of him.
So we all know that Anne passed 6 months ago. We were right here for her, honoring her. And so the other day when we were at the house and we were waiting for the moment that was imminent, after it happened, we were kind of, Brian and Ben had just gotten there, and we're kind of talking about the fact that this reunion was taking place. And I think anybody who ever spent any time at the Markle house, if he answered the door, the first thing he would say is, "Oh, not you." And then he'd shut the door and walk away. So this is what the belief was, the consensus was, when Anne opened the door for him. She opens the door and he says, "Oh, not you." And she said, "You know, you're a real horse's tail." So going back to when I first started dating Shawnee, Carl loved vehicles, mostly other people's vehicles. "Hey, how long you had that? How much you pay for it? How many miles are on it? Want to sell it? So anyway, he bought this really nice Chevy Tahoe. And we go over to visit him one night, probably for dinner, and we pull up and he's got this really nice Chevy Tahoe sitting in the driveway. So I'm, you know, "Hey, come look at this, you know, come look at this new car I got. It's really pretty," whatever. And okay, "In the garage, right?" "What? No, it's in the driveway." "No, your new car's in the garage, right?" "No, it's in the driveway." I said, "What's in the garage?" "Oh, my lawnmower." I said, "Hold on a minute. So you got this new car and you just said you paid, you know, whatever for it. How much you pay for that lawnmower?" "Oh, you know, $1,200. I said, "Carl, you got your $25,000 Tahoe sitting in the driveway and your $1,200 lawnmower sitting in the garage. Do the math, you know, whatever." And he laughs and he calls me a dirty name and a smart mouth and whatever. And the next time we go over there, he says, "Hey, come look in my garage. My Tahoe's in there. You think you're funny, but that was a really good idea." So the lawnmower's on the back porch and now the Tahoe's in the garage. And that's, so anyway, we're going to miss him.
Everybody, my name's Chance Mumford. I've known Ann and Carl since they moved out here in '94. I was 4 years old, long time ago. They used to live over on Jim Hayworth Court. We used to go over almost every week and have dinner. Sorry, I do good up until this point. I have a lot of memories with them growing up. I didn't have my grandparents alive for a lot of my life. So, Ann and Carl were like my grandparents. They always supported me in everything I did, gave me encouraging words, and would scold me if I needed it, like she did everybody else. Some of the memories I have, and there's a lot of them, but some of the funny ones was, "Hey, we're going to buy a new boat." "Okay. So we're going to go out on the water?" "No, we're going to leave it in the dock." "Okay." They would invite us out, you know, "Cool, let's take it out on the water." I think we made it about 500 yards and turned around. Carl liked to own his boat just to go sit on it, enjoy the dock. But it was very enjoyable spending time with them. Going with Kyle, I never knew anybody that needed 5 cars for one person. He just enjoyed his vehicles. Very meticulous about them. They would come over to Sunday dinner every week. And I'm very much gonna miss having them there. Having the two of them there was always fun to watch. They liked to bicker, call each other fun names. But that's how you knew they really loved each other. And they loved me and my family like we were family. My dad and I built their house over in Lake Valley. What a fun experience. If you want to ever find somebody that couldn't make up their mind, to his Aunt Carl. A lot of changes. One of the things he was most proud of, though, was that giant tiki head in the backyard. He spent a lot of hours and a lot of time. We went and helped him a few times when it got to some of the higher portions. I've dated my wife since high school, and he made it a very clear point that he wanted us to have our prom dinner in his backyard. He was so proud of it. So we have forever pictures of that tiki head and the bridge and all of his tiki torches out back. So those are just some of the memories that will stay with me forever.
This is more for everybody else. In the past 9 months since my mom got sick, I've had the pleasure of, well, taking care of her and then taking care of him. And I can't tell you what a blessing it has been to me and my family to be able to spend my mom's last couple months with her and my dad's last 7 months with him. And everybody that's here played such a big part in the past 7-9 months especially, but years. I mean, the outpouring of love and support that this community and their circle has given them is unbelievable. But being able to take care of them and being with them is probably the greatest blessing I've ever had. And I remember my mom, in the months leading up, all she'd say to me is, "I'm sorry, Shawnee, I'm sorry." She just never wanted to be a burden. You never, ever, ever heard her complain, ever. And I would always tell her, "Mom, there's no place I'd rather be. There's nothing I'd rather do than take care of you." And same with my dad. Especially the last couple weeks when we had to put him on hospice, I'm sorry, Shawnee. And there, like I told him, I said, there's no place I'd rather be and nothing I'd rather be doing than taking care of you, because that's what they did for everybody else. They took care of everybody else, and just the outpouring of love and support from neighbors and friends and family. And again, this is more for everybody else. Thank you. Thank you from me and my family for just being there and watching over them and making sure they're taken care of, and just that they felt loved, because we loved them so much, and to know that you guys loved them just means the world to me, so thank you.
I'm Shayna. They really did take care of everyone else. And when they lived in the Lake Valley house, I was staying with them, and Polar Express had just came out. And Poppy was so excited to have me watch it with him that we watched it, and then I went to bed. I woke up the next morning with a trail from my room of fake snow all the way to the living room where there was a reindeer bell. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And to this day, I still have that bell. And while also living with them, me and Poppy would, it was just like the little things with Poppy, but I would get in trouble and he'd spank me and then send me to my room. And about 10, 15 minutes later, he'd come back in and apologize and give me a big hug and comfort me. And it was probably Grammy on the reciprocating end of him and why he came back to say sorry. And yeah.
So just a couple of quick stories over the past 7-ish months. One involves bird feeders, and the other one involves crossword puzzles. Those of you know, he had bird feeders in the backyard. He couldn't decide which one worked best for the birds. So he would fill them, and then if he had extra in his little scooper, he would just throw it on the mat, on the ground. As the weeks went on or the days went on, he would eventually just go out there and just take the bird feeder down and just throw it on the mat. So he would fill it, and then they would empty it, and he got tired. He couldn't decide if he wanted it there because it was a whole thing, or just it was easier for him to throw it because he had kind of had to go around to climb up some rocks. And as time went on, he couldn't climb those rocks. So he would just walk over and throw it on the mat. But one day I watched him out there through the window, and it was one of the best days of my life. Crossword puzzles. I would go out there and I would sit at this little round table with him, and I would suggest things. Oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I said, well, you got to do something. You can't just sit here. Let's go to Ace. We'll walk around Ace. Let's go to O'Reilly's, which we did a few times, and each time we'd go in there, he would walk around the back and say out loud, this is a really nice store. And of course myself and all the workers would look at him and just smile. Sorry, that was a side note to the crosswords. So him and I would do crosswords, and it would take hours. It would take a very long time because I would try to get him to figure it out. Some of the answers were actually quite difficult in the easy crossword book. But every 3 or 4 words, he would look up and say, let's just take a peek to see if I'm right. And he would do that quite often. And again, those were currently some of the best times that I've had with him. I again, based on what my sister was saying, I appreciate all of you. Coming out here and paying your last respects, it means a lot. Thank you.
For those of you who are members, my heart is like pounding like I'm in a testimony meeting right now. So my name's Carson. I am Kyle's daughter and Shawnee's stepdaughter. And I feel really blessed to be here. So obviously my parents are divorced, and Grammy and Poppy really took me in as their own. I was the only kid that lived with them full-time towards the end of my high school years. And if they went on a date, Grammy and Poppy were right there to make me dinner. And I loved Poppy's scalloped potatoes. It was great. And I just loved to hear his stories and have him walk me around his house and tell me about all the amazing trinkets he had. And my favorite one was the little piece of cloth from Lincoln's funeral. But I just feel like I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't say thank you so much to them for loving me and being there for me. They're the most amazing people, and I feel so honored that I got to know them. They're such a gift to us all, so thank you.
started dating Peter when I was 16, and like Brian, I have a few of those stories, not about drugs in the house, but other stories that maybe, you know, they weren't so happy about Peter and I being in the home. But I just want to say that Anne and Carl always loved me. They always welcomed me. Peter tortured me for a couple of years on and off, and they were always fair to me. They were always loving, and they were not judgmental people at all. They weren't... We had a lot of differences, and we didn't talk about our differences. We talked about the things that we had in common, and they didn't bother us. We saw them minimally, but when we did see them, it was quality time. They were giving and loving, and I just feel really blessed to be a part of the family and to have known Carl. A funny story of his, specifically with me, is that I had a little Karmann Ghia, and I was so proud of it, and I loved to drive it and zoom around, and it was just really fun. And he said, I always hated those cars. So, you know, blunt as he was, I appreciated that. So, last time I saw him, he was chomping on Skittles and Diet Coke, and I said, you know, Carl, you really shouldn't have all that sugar. And he said, I'm 82. I said, okay, well, so anyway.
Hi, I'm Angelina, I'm the granddaughter. The last time I saw Poppy, I remember we were watching The Sound of Music. And I remember looking over at him in his little chair, and he just had a sly little smile on his face. He was just enjoying the movie for what it was. And even though it was the last time I got to see him, it was a good memory. And I remember just staring at him, smiling, as we watched the movie. And there's so many memories of the beach house, being with him and Grammy. And those were the best times. Every time I saw them, they were the best times. And I'm going to miss them forever. I love you.
Is there anyone else? I would hate to take this time away from you.
I'm Jessica. I am not the natural born daughter, but Carl was definitely my dad. He actually walked me down the aisle. It was was the best day of my life. I was very, very lucky to be so close to him and for him to just take me in the way that he did and the way that Anne did. I think that everybody here had their own kind of special relationship with both of them. They had that way of just making a special connection, a different one with everybody that they knew. And it always made everybody feel so special to them. I know it did for me. With Carl walking me down the aisle and just sitting there, he's always joking, telling jokes as we're walking down there. I'm not even going to repeat them because it was so... I'm sure that you guys know sometimes he was a little inappropriate, which was so fun. And I'll never forget, I have so many memories because he used to stop by the house, he used to stop by our office, he used to him and Carl, you know, Velma, we went to lunch with them probably 3 times a week for years. So he always wanted a really big hug from me. That was one of his favorite things, and of course would just slap him a little bit, but he was 82, so we just really enjoyed that. He wouldn't come or go from anywhere without getting hugs. I'll never forget the first year that I, you know, after Josh and I were married and we were in San Diego. And we were just sitting there fishing on the pier, and I realized right at that moment that this was my family and that he was my dad. I'll never forget it. I started crying randomly out of nowhere, and Josh was like, "What's wrong with you?" I'm like, "So sentimental." I'm like, "I'll explain later," but it was just, that was our relationship, and I knew it right at that moment. Everybody knows he cracked jokes all the time. All the time. He was just, I loved to see him smile. He had a wonderful, wonderful smile. My husband always said, no matter what's going on, I'm gonna make you guys laugh. I'm gonna make mom and dad laugh today. And sure as shit, he did it every time. And Carl would just give him shit right back, you know. They had such a wonderful relationship. And they are so much alike. So I'm really, really blessed to have two such great men, you know, in my life. That are so much alike. It's crazy. It's crazy how much alike they are. Thank you to all of you for being here and showing your love and appreciation for them, because they were really, really great, great people. And it's hard to even just say Carl, because him and Ann were so, it was always him and Ann, you know? They were always together. But thank you for showing the love and appreciating, you know, how good they were. I know that they are just right now staring down at everybody here and just sharing as much love as they possibly can, however they possibly can, because knowing them, they're going to do that no matter whether they're here with us or they're not physically. I love you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, everyone that shared, and as we prepare to end up these services, I just want to recognize a few people, and as pallbearers, they're listed as Peter Markle, Joshua Markle, Kyle Cardinal, Brett Hennig, Brian Hennig, Gary Hennig, Austin Travis, Perry Markle, and Tanner Hammonds. As honorary pallbearers, we have Kevin Cardinal, Clint Cardinal, Chance Munford, Doug Munford, and Brad Munford. There will be a luncheon provided by the St. Joseph Ward Relief Society. I believe that's at the Stake Center, is that correct? Okay. And to conclude these services, we'll have a dedication of the grave offered by Kyle Cardinal. I just wanted to mention, if you would like to take some pictures at the end of the service, that, you know, you're certainly welcome to do so. The cemetery crew will need about an hour to 2 hours to close the grave. I assume by the time you're done with the luncheon, you'll be able to come back here and spend a bit more time here once the grave is closed. And we'll have the headstone back in place, of course, as well. Thank you all for coming here and taking this time to pay tribute to this man. So, Kyle.
Our Father in heaven, by the authority of the Holy Melchizedek Priesthood, I consecrate and dedicate this grave as the final resting place for the body of our beloved Carl Markle. We ask that thou would protect and hallow this ground until the time of his resurrection. And we ask at this time for a blessing of comfort and peace be upon the family, that in our time of grief, that we might each feel of thy spirit and be able to find peace in the relationships that we had with Carl, and be able to find joy in those memories, and to be able to comfort one another. These things we pray for in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.